Well, we celebrated Australia Day yesterday in the gloomy weather of Sydney, but it is still Australia Day over there in the UK. And Jacqueline Magnay, she's at Australia House with all the expats celebrating. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yes, it's lots of fun here happening at Australia House. A lot of expats floating around with bits of wattle in their hair and celebrating with fine Australian sparkling wine. So it's a great night.
You can find a function. You are the best.
Well, I have my patriotic green dress on and, you know, you've got to add a bit of colour to these events. And I think, I do love a function and I do love a champagne and a sparkling wine. So, I think the two go together, really.
Yeah, half your luck.
Half your luck.
Half your luck, Jacqueline. You enjoy yourself. But we will ask you just a few questions, if that's all right. How are the Brits responding to Nick Kyrgios and obviously takes on Andy Murray?
Well, quite interestingly, actually, there was an article in The Telegraph here, Jonathan Liu, who's a very funny writer, was likening Nick Kyrgios to Kevin Peterson.
Ah.
Basically saying he's divisive, he's mercurial, he's arrogant, he's incapable of shutting up, but he's completely compelling. And basically, he's a massive fan of him and saying that Australians really haven't embraced him to the extent that they need to, and likened him to a young Andy Murray, where basically Andy Murray was always a Scot until he won, and then, of course, he was a Brit. So Nick Kyrgios, still very much a love-hate relationship, but the British seem to think that Australians regard him.
I've got to ask you, is he popular in Britain or is he, because he doesn't seem very popular here. And the big difference between Nick Kyrgios and Kevin Peterson for mine is Kevin Peterson was playing a team game and Nick Kyrgios is playing an individual game. So he doesn't have to, he can be, who's he going to be divisive against?
Well, no, I think the Brits over here regard Nick Kyrgios as a curiosity and somebody who embraces what they perceive as Australian values, as someone being a bit abrasive, speaks his mind, is that kind of bit of an ocker Aussie, a little bit uncontrollable. And that's what a lot of British people think about Australians in a very stereotypical manner. So they just think that Nick Kyrgios is very much one of those Australian men that they love to lampoon. And so they are embracing him and loving him for that.
The FA Cup, there's some upsets happening.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it? Who would have thought, if I was speaking to you last week, that the top three teams would have been thrown out? You know, Chelsea beaten by Bradford City. I mean, Bradford City is in the third division and they beat Chelsea 4-2. You've had Southampton beaten by Crystal Palace, and then Manchester City went down to Middlesbrough 2-0, and Manchester City, boy, they were in Abu Dhabi last week and they arrived back on the Friday night before their game, ostensibly for, some summer, midwinter warm weather training. They get back just hours before the game and that's been lampooned throughout the country. As, they're not being disrespectful to the competition and not taking it seriously, and obviously being very respectful to their owners. So that's been a big talking point this week. And Manchester United drawing with Cambridge, who's a fourth division side.
Yes.
So the FA Cup is really wide open. I know Arsenal and, they won and they're the top-ranked team now that have gone through. They're very... they think themselves very fortunate to have escaped last weekend's kind of catastrophe.
Yeah. Mourinho, while they weren't playing their top side, in fact, it was their second string side, he still says it was a complete embarrassment for the Chelsea club. So, but he's in company there, as you mentioned, with Manchester City as well. The new FIFA, they've got a conference in Brussels and we've got some Aussies involved.
Yes, well, that happened a couple of days ago, and it's called New FIFA Now, and this is kind of a pressure reform group to put pressure on Sepp Blatter to institute reform within the organisation. Now, Jamie Fuller, who was also involved in Change Cycling Now, he was very much instrumental in getting rid of Pat McQuaid as head of the International Cycling Union and putting in Brian Cookson, who is very much a reformist. He's involved in this, and also Benito Mercedes, she is also involved in this group. Now, they had Jerome Champagne. They had, you know, Prince Ali is supporting them. They had some former players there as well, and a lot of European politicians who are all putting pressure on FIFA to institute reform change. So very much Australia has a front seat at the table there. But Jamie Fuller, ever the showman, I mean, he has a company, an international company. He's now launched a sponsorship, a non-sponsorship of FIFA. And, of course, you can now go on the website and apply for tickets to not win tickets to the World Cup. And it's kind of a bit of a fun poke at FIFA and its sponsorship. But it does have an important point because three FIFA sponsors have, of course, pulled the plug in recent weeks over the ongoing controversy about how open and transparent they are and how they conduct their relationships and how basically the fans and the players have been sidelined from a lot of the major decisions that are going on and the dramas, obviously, about the World Cup selection. So there's still a lot to run, but the election is in May, of course, for Sepp Blatter. Everyone still thinks he will win fairly comfortably, but he is under a lot of pressure to at least institute some major reforms.
Jacqueline, we thank you. Brilliant stuff. There's a champagne or whatever you'd like waiting for you.
Thanks, guys. You have a great week. I noticed you've had a few haircuts for the TV appearance today, so you're looking good.
Thank you.
And a little bit of a tint in there, Jacqueline. Don't forget the dye that he wears so beautifully.
Thank you for your support, Jacqueline.
Speak to you next week.